ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 14. The chapter is titled, Lord Krishna Explains the Yoga System. And the text 35.
Evam pranava samyuktam pranameva samabhyaset deshakristva trishavanam Masadarvagjitanilaha.
Evam. Thus. Pranava. With the syllable Om. Samyuktam. Joint. Pranam. The pranayama system of controlling the bodily airs. Eva. Indeed. Samabhyaset. One should carefully practice. Dasakritva. Ten times. Trisavanam. At sunrise, noon and sunset. Maasat. One month. Arvak. After. Jita. One will conquer. Anilaha. The life air. This is a translation. Being fixed in the Omkar, one should carefully practice the pranayama system 10 times each sunrise, noon and sunset. Thus, after 1 month, one will have conquered the life air. There is no purport to this verse, so I will read forward. There is a few verses, 36 till 42.
हृत्पुण्डरीगमन्दस्तम् ऊर्ध्वानालम् अधोमुखम् ध्यायत्वोर्ध्वम् मुखम् उनिद्रम् अष्टपात्रम् सकर्णिकम् कर्णिकायम् न्यसे सूर्यम् सोमाग्नि उत्तरोत्तरम् भन्निमध्ये समाद्रूमम् ममैतद्ध्यानमङ्गलम् समम् प्रशान्तम् सुमुखम् दीर्घचारु चतुर्भुजम् सुचारु सुन्दर ग्रीवम् सुगल्पोम् सुजिन्स्मितम् समानकर्णम् विन्यस्ता स्पृहन्मकरकुण्डलम् हेमाम्बरम् घनश्यामम् श्रीवत्स श्रीनिकेतनम् शङ्खचक्रगदापद्मा वनमाला विभूषितम् नूपिरारैर्विलासत्पदम् कौस्तुभ प्रभयायुतम् द्युम्मत्कीर्तिम् कर्तगाकाति सुदाङ्गदयायुतम् सर्वाङ्गसुन्दरम् हृदयम् प्रसादा सुमुखे क्षणम् सुसुकुमारम् अभिध्यायेत् सर्वाङ्गेषु मनो ददत् इन्द्रियाणीन्द्रियार्थेभ्यो मनसागृह्य तन्मन बुद्ध्या सरासिदधीरा प्रणयेन मयि सर्वता.
So I will not go word by word, I'll just read the translation. That is quite big. So the translation of 36 till 42. Keeping the eyes half closed and fixed on the tip of one's nose, being enlivened and alert, one should meditate on the lotus flower situated within the heart. This lotus has 8 petals and is situated on an erect lotus stack. One should meditate on the sun, moon and fire, placing them one after other within the hole of the lotus flower. Placing my transcendental form within the fire, one should meditate upon it as the auspicious goal of all meditation. That form is perfectly proportioned, gentle and cheerful. It possesses 4 beautiful long arms, a charming beautiful neck, a handsome forehead, a pure smile and glowing shark-shaped earrings suspended from 2 identical ears. That spiritual form is the color of a dark rain cloud and is garbed in golden yellowish silk. The chest of the form is abode of Shivarsa and the goddess of fortune. And that form is also decorated with a conch shell, disc, club, lotus flower and garland of forest flowers. The two brilliant lotus feet are decorated with ankle bells and bracelets. And that form exhibits the Kausubha gem along with an effulgent crown. The upper hips are beautified by a golden belt, and the arms are decorated with valuable bracelets. All the limbs of that beautiful form capture the heart, and the face is beautified by merciful glancing. Pulling the senses back from the sense objects, one should be grave and self-controlled, and should use the intelligence to strongly fix the mind upon all the limbs of my transcendental body. Thus, one should meditate upon the most delicate transcendental form of mind. So here is the purport by servants of His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. It's a one-liner, just one line is the purport. Lord Krishna here answers Uddhava's question concerning the correct procedure, nature and object of meditation for those desiring liberation.
ओम ज्ञानतिव्रांतस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाखया चक्षुरन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहस्रनारकनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणालडिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
In this verse, as well as in the previous verses, one verse, it was described the meditation on Omkar. So meditation on Omkar means Omkar is actually impersonal representation of Krishna, as Bhagavad Gita says, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. Pranava or the Omkar represents Krishna, and 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam also mentions that Omkar is also known as Nadanta, or Krishna is known as Nadanta, where Nada represents Omkar, and at the end of Nada, at the end of Omkar, one should reach Krishna. So the practice of chanting of Omkar should lead to worship of Krishna ultimately. And here in these verses, there is the verse 35, and the next verses we can see this progression. That is, at one level it is described one should meditate on Omkar, which is an impersonal representation of Krishna, and in the next level Krishna's Vishnu form, as the Vishnumurti form, as the plenary portion of Krishna situated within the heart, how one can meditate on that form, that is described in the verses from 36 till 42. So we can see a continuation. That is, at one level the meditation of impersonal aspect of Krishna as Omkar is mentioned, and after that it is progressed to the personal meditation of Krishna situated within the heart. Now, here very beautiful description is given about the body of the Supreme Lord, the spiritual body of the Supreme Lord, and his clothes and ornaments, etc. But if we really want to appreciate the beauty of the spiritual world, we have to actually understand what is the beauty of the material world. Then we can appreciate what is the real beauty. I think I heard from one lecture, Maharaj was mentioning that he was mentioning regarding beauty and time. That is, one beautiful girl was walking in an airport. So she was walking and behind her mother was walking. So there was a few seconds delay. That is, they were in a few meters apart. So first the lady was coming. She was young and beautiful and everyone was attracted and everyone was looking at her. And at the same time, in a few seconds, her mother started walking. he was mentioning, and as mother and daughter, they look quite alike. There is quite a bit of similarity. So he was mentioning, it is just the time. Here we can see the daughter and the mother a few seconds apart, and we can see the progression of age in few seconds. The same way, we can see the material beauty in few years, how it vanishes, how it becomes, you know, just useless. So that is the nature of material beauty. It just disappears. Often it is said, it is skin, that the beauty of this world is skin deep. If you think it is true. How much can we enjoy in the most enjoyable object or a person like that if the skin is removed? The beauty is skin deep. So it doesn't have any depth. It is very shallow. So here it is mentioned, okay, we have to move away from the material beauty, and ultimately we have to come to the spiritual beauty, come to the beauty of Krishna. And that meditation is very nicely described in this verse. Actually, I was thinking, we have always a dichotomy between the material world and the spiritual world. That is, always there is a contrast between the material world and the spiritual world is described. If you see Bhagavatam, if you see different lectures, always there is that contrast. And this contrast is given to understand what is the difference, and with which we can understand why we are suffering here, and at the same time what is in reserve for us in the spiritual world. So I was thinking of a nice prayer by Pingala, the prostitute from the same canto. So she, after realizing her position as a prostitute, what she was doing, and she understood what she was doing was abominable, and after realizing that, she offers a wonderful prayer. So there are many prayers in which one of the prayers actually explains the contrast between material world and the spiritual world. So when I was reading this verse, actually I was thinking about this prayer. So I thought I would describe a little bit, and it will come finally to the description of the super soul. So it actually matches what we are talking today. So she says, it's a very nice verse, it's written,
Santam Samibe Ramanam Radhi Pradam Vitta Pradam Nityam Suidam Vihaya Akamada Dukha Bhayadi Shokam Moha Pradam Duchamaham Bhajegya.
So Pinkala says, the last two lines, she actually gives a very nice explanation of the material existence. She says, whatever we are trying to fulfill, what is the end result of that? So the word she uses to describe this is, she says it is akamadam. Everyone knows what is kama means. Kama means the desires, generally referring to material desires and sometimes to spiritual desires as well. So dham means that which gives. So everyone is seeking fulfillment in one form or in the other form. Maybe from the material objects or from the different personalities. So everyone wants fulfillment in any relationship. And she is telling that it is akamadam. Akamadam means it is exactly the opposite. Even though one desires material fulfillment, even though one desires happiness, it is never satisfying. So she said it is akamadam. It is like, whatever it is, even among devotees, even if we understand or if we think about any material fulfillment in the relationship, if it is not spiritual, that is not going to actually fulfill us, even among the relationship with the devotees. So that is a fact. So that is the reason it is akamadam, which cannot actually fulfill. And why the relationship or whatever material objects, it is akamadam? The reason is, we don't have the ability to fulfill ultimately anyone. One reason for that is, who can know Krishna or who can know us better than Krishna? Nobody can know us completely. Even we don't know ourselves to the fullest degree. So we cannot satisfy ourselves fully, nor anyone else in the material world, materially speaking, cannot satisfy us. So that is the exact opposite. It is actually the difference between Krishna and us. As the Shruti Mantra says, Eko Bahuna Yo Vidathadi Kaman. So there is one person actually who can fulfill us. That is Krishna. So that is the difference between us and Krishna. And she further explains, akamadam dukkha. So another feature of this world is dukkha, Krishna says, of course, in Bhagavad Gita. Manashashtani Indriyani Prakritistani Kashyati. He says it is Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. That is a place of misery. And why it is a place of misery? There is misery because that is how it is designed. Otherwise we never want to get out of this world. If it is a perfect place where everyone can enjoy to the fullest, then why would one ever want to leave this world? So it is a reminder, even for devotees, the miseries are a reminder of our temporary existence, and to look forward for something which is permanent, something which is connected to Krishna. So it is very important. Next, she further explains. So these are different qualifications, different features of this world. And she says it is bhayam. Bhayam means fear. So fear is another key feature of this world. And it is very important to understand what is fear. There is a very, very nice verse in Sanskrit. It actually gives a different descriptions of fear. It is said, Bhoge roga bhayam, kule chyuti bhayam, vitte nirpalad bhayam, mane dainya bhayam, bale ripu bhayam, rupe jaraya bhayam, shastre vadi bhayam, gune khalu bhayam, kaye kratantad bhayam, sarve vastu bhayam. So the verse is full of bhayam. So it actually depicts that this world is full of fear. And if we try to understand why there is fear in this world, why there is fear in this world, if we try to understand this point, it is based on one simple point. It is based on that we don't want to lose anything, or we are fearful about losing, and we are going to lose everything. So this is the basis of fear. So material existence means fear. As it is said, bhoge roga bhayam. If you want to enjoy, if you want to enjoy nice sweets, if you want to enjoy nice gulab jamuns, we can eat and we can enjoy until one day when we go to doctor and find out there is diabetes. So always, when we want to enjoy, there is roga bhayam. There is a fear of disease. And it is said, kule chyuti bhayam. And if one is very proud of one's ancestry, one is proud of one's family, and one is proud of one's wealth, then what is the problem is, one is fearful whether one has a progeny or not. If there is no progeny, then there is fear. Then what will happen to me? What will happen to my wealth? So that is another kind of fear. Then it is said, vitte nirpalad bhayam. That is, if somebody has wealth, lot of money, then one is fearful that, you know, somebody is going to come and steal everything. You can see, if somebody's house, if it is quite huge, and if it is massive, and has got lot of gadgets and lot of stuff in, then there will be a prison-like wall. And maybe here, maybe chap security or whatever. There will be a big protection, because this protection is just nothing but fear. So because they are fearful of losing. So whatever, whenever there is fear, it is on the principle of losing. And we don't want to lose, and we are going to lose it. And it is said, rupe jaraya bhayam. Rupe means, if somebody is beautiful, their whole identification is based on their beauty. And if someone is going to lose that beauty, one is very much afraid. Now, last few days we were going on flyers, and all the shops, including the beauty shops or hair cutting saloons, we used to go. So whenever we go, you know, there are always some people. And actually people are anxious there, because they are after, you know, there are different pictures kept, and people are doing all sort of different things. And people are very anxious. What is happening to their beauty? Are they looking good enough? Is it attractive enough? So people are worried about their beauty very much. So that is, it is right. If somebody has beauty, then the problem is rupe jaraya bhayam. That is, when it gets old, it becomes a big trauma. Then there is one more fear. It is shastre vadi bhayam. If somebody is very well versed in shastra, not necessarily devotional or with a wrong attitude, if somebody is well versed, then the fear is if somebody would come and defeat. It is said, even the Goswamis, when they were approached by great scholars for arguments, they would say, we are not bothered. If you want to be, you know, known to defeat us, then we are ready to give the certification. Rupa Goswami gave this to one big scholar. He came, okay, I want to argue with you. So he said, you know, I don't have any argument. If you want, I can write and give you that, okay, you will get, you will be known as the best of the scholars. No problem. It's also mentioned in Mahaprabhu, In one pastime, one scholar came and he approached Mahaprabhu and he asked Mahaprabhu, "Now that you have written this book on logic and reasoning, so if you actually distribute this book to others, then my position will be completely useless because no one will actually listen to me." And he was a big scholar. So immediately after that, when Mahaprabhu heard this, he actually threw whatever he wrote on logic and reasoning in Ganges. Because he said, you know, "I don't want that. If you want to be the greatest, yes, you take it." So this is the mood of devotees. So they are not actually bothered by this Shastra Vadivayam because their position is not just argument. They give reasons to establish Krishna consciousness, but their point is not just argument for the sake of argument. No. So the fear is an inevitable factor in material existence, as Bhagavatam says in the 11th canto, Bhayam Dvitiya Abhinivesata Syat. That is, whenever one is attracted to the matter, that is the Dvitiya. Dvitiya means the secondary nature, which is the matter, then one has to be fearful. Fear has to be there. Now, actually, Pingala goes one more level. She tells a common problem of this world. She says there is Adhi also in this world. Adhi means the mental distress. The stress as such is another problem of this world. The stress is now such a common thing. I was remembering my cousin, she went to US for her further education and to settle down there as a doctor. She was a doctor. And the profession she chose was, she said, you know, she had a different interest. But once she landed there, she decided she will do her further education in psychiatry. Because she understood, you know, there's a growth, you know, lot of opportunity there. And you know, she had to study for another 5 years or whatsoever. It's a long study. But, you know, she's so busy and earning a lot of money. It actually shows in this world, in the mental diseases are getting to a higher degree in terms of rating. It is, you know, on a higher level, very much. Even one person who used to come from temple programs, he used to take care of mentally diseased people. And he was mentioning to us that it is very true that the statement from the Shastra is very true, that the stress is increasing and increasing all the time. And if you see why there is stress, the reason for stress is actually expectation. And if you analyze, according to one's karma, one is situated in a particular mode of material nature. One is affected by the three modes of material nature according to one's karma. And as one is situated in a particular mode of material nature or a combination of modes of material nature, one develops a particular conditioning or one develops a particular kind of attachment. And according to one's attachment, one develops particular kind of expectations. That is, according to one attachment, we have some expectations. And as far as we have expectations, it is just like carrying, you know, 10 kilo weight or 20 kilo weight according to our level of expectation. We have to carry physically. In the same way, when we have expectation, we have to carry mentally. And that is stress. So whenever there are expectations materially, then one is bound to be stressed. There is no other option. It is like if you say, okay, we are carrying all these expectations and we don't want to be stressed. That is just like saying, you know, I am carrying, you know, 20 kilos of weight in my shoulder and, you know, I shouldn't fail any weight. It's not possible. So it is the factor. It is there. And finally she says, you know, it is lamentation. Lamentation. Lamentation is there because whenever we have expectation and whenever it is not fulfilled, then we lament. That is shokam. One time I was speaking to Brahmakund Prabhu. He was telling me a story. It was very interesting. He was mentioning how a family went to Hawaii on vacation. It was like this family, they worked a lot, day in and day out, for a few years. And they were not wealthy family. And they wanted to go to Hawaii on vacation. So they amassed whatever money required for that. They booked the ticket for one week, 7 days. And after that, they had accommodation, flight, everything done. And they departed from their country, the whole family. That is husband, wife, children, everyone went. Unfortunately, when they landed there, it started raining. And it was not a normal rain. It was a heavy rain. And first day passed, rain didn't stop. It was continuously raining. Second day, it was raining. And it continued pretty much until the last day of the trip. So 7 days, they wanted to enjoy, they wanted to go out, they wanted to have a life, nice time. However, they had such a distress sitting in the hotel. And they lamented so much that ultimately they committed suicide. It's a terrible story if you think. They committed suicide. That was their end of lamentation. The many years they worked so hard for a few days to enjoy. But the material nature is so cruel that entered in the death. So this is, you know, this is lamentation. It's terrible. So she says, this is Pingala, she says, she concludes, she says, okay, we are saying it is not giving, it is giving mental distress, it is giving this, that, other thing. Finally she says, there is one more thing, that is moha pradam. Ultimately what the material nature gives is moha, which is illusion. Bewilderment and illusion, that is guaranteed, that is free of cost. That is the nature of this world. And when we look to Krishna, look up to Krishna, when we see him, it is exactly the opposite. So that's what I wanted to make a point. That is, whatever she mentioned, the different qualities of the material nature she mentioned, when we actually take the opposite, we can see in Krishna. We can see in spiritual existence. She mentioned it is akamadam. Whereas in prayers of gopis, gopis are saying, Krishna, they say you are kamadam. They say, kara saroruham kanda kamadam. She says, oh, you are lotus fingers, actually. Lotus hands are actually bestowing all benedictions. It is kamadam. It can actually satisfy all spiritual desires. And next point she mentions is bhayam. And instead of bhayam, it is abhayam. As Kunti Maharani prays, bhirapi yad bibheti. That is, even fear personified runs away when Krishna comes. Cannot stand in front of Krishna. So that is Krishna. It's exactly the opposite. And instead of adhi, it is ramanam. Adhi means it is the stress. Ramanam means that which gives pleasure. It's exactly the opposite. And instead of shokam, instead of lamentation, it is anandam. That which gives a lot of pleasure. So this is the Krishna's nature. That is, he gives always pleasure to his devotees. There is one nice pastime of Sri Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya was conducting a huge harinam in Srirangam. And he was going with lot of his disciples and lot of his followers. And he was walking and he was chanting very loudly, beautiful kirtans, beautiful holy names of Krishna. As he was walking, we can imagine when a huge harinam goes, usually everyone at least have a look. People, you know, people attention, for at least for a span of moment, they actually take their attention to harinam. So this was such a massive harinam and so many people were there. However, he found one person, he was very busy with his girlfriend. He was embracing and he was completely absorbed in association with his girlfriend. And he was completely oblivious of the fact that there was such a harinam going on. So it was completely, and we had to understand this happened a few hundred of years back. It is not now. When we go to Swanson Street, you know, we can see people doing all sort of things when harinam goes. That's different. But a few hundred years back, the situation was quite pious. You can't see any of these things on street. It was quite decent. So the harinam was going and this was going. And Sri Ramanujacharya, he thought, oh, what is going on? This is not good. He couldn't actually imagine some person completely absorbed. So Ramanujacharya approached later this person and asked him, okay, why are you so absorbed? What is captivating you so much in seeing this girl? So he said, yes, he thought and he said, that is one thing. That is her eyes. When I see her eyes, then I am completely captivated. I'm completely absorbed in her. So Ramanujacharya said, okay, that is fine. So suppose if I show you something more beautiful than that, then he said, yes, then I would like to, definitely I would like to see that. So he said, okay, tomorrow you come to the temple of Ranganath in the evening. So he said, yes, I will come. So come at 6 o'clock in the evening, that is when the sandhya, when it is between, it's not actually fully dark and at the same time it is not bright. It is the in between period, twilight time. So he said, okay, we'll go there. So this person went, and Ramanujacharya took him to the temple. And this temple is such that inside there is not so much of light. Even during the day there is not so much of light, because there is no electricity. It is just the ghee lamps everywhere. So he approached, he went in front of the Lord. So the usual system, the ancient system of showing the deity is by showing the light, the lamp. They take the lamp and they take in front of the deity and then show the deity, because there is no electricity, nothing. Like now, even now, if you go to, I remember when I went to Adikeshava temple. Adikeshava temple is a temple where Mahaprabhu found the 5th chapter of Brahma Samhita. So when we go there, still there is the deity of Adikeshava. So it is quite dark, and the deity is made of granite stone. So actually you can't see any of the features clearly if you stand with a distance. But the pujari will go, he'll take a big lamp and he'll show to the face, and he'll show this is the face, and he'll go to the belly and this is the belly, go to the feet and show the feet, like that. He'll show all these different features of the Supreme Lord. So similarly, when Ramanujacharya took this person in front of the Lord, he couldn't actually really see. But the pujari, it was the night time and it was arati time, and he was actually showing the whole deity very nicely. So when he was showing the deity, he actually approached the lotus face of the Supreme Lord. He could actually see the eyes. So when he saw the eyes, actually his heart melted and he understood, these eyes are even more beautiful than that of my girlfriend. So that was the realization that he got. And after that, he actually surrendered unto the lotus feet of Sri Ramanujacharya. And he said, now I don't want my girlfriend, I just want to be your disciple. Ramanujacharya said, no, already you have a girlfriend, you should get married. And both of them, they got married, and both of them became great servants of Ramanujacharya. Very interesting. And we had to understand, it doesn't mean if you take someone and if you show the deities, immediately they may not give up the material association, but it's the beginning. And there, in that pastime, we had to understand Ramanujacharya, he gave the mercy. He is being a great Vaishnava, he could give a lot of mercy to this person. And he became the rightful recipient of that mercy. So he could actually get detached from the material beauty. It is mentioned that Krishna's beauty is such that even the Cupid get attracted to the beauty of Krishna. So Krishna is known as Madan Mohan. Also a very interesting term is used to describe Krishna's beauty in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. He is addressed as Manmadha Manmadha. It is mentioned, Tasam Avirabhu Shauri Smayamana Mukhambujam Pidam Bharadara Sargi Sakshat Manmadha Manmadha. It is actually a description given in the 32nd chapter of 10th canto, the second verse. When Krishna disappeared from the rasa dance, and when he appeared, when he was in front of the gopis with a smiling face and wearing Pidampara, the yellow garments, and his Vaijayanti garland with a smiling face, he was exactly looking like the transcendental Cupid. So the word Manmadha is very interesting. Manmadha, man means mind. Madha means that which agitates or stirs. So Cupid is usually known as Manmadha, and Krishna is addressed as Manmadha Manmadha. That is two times Manmadha. That is the transcendental Cupid. So Krishna can actually capture our heart, and with that we can actually give up the material beauty, and that is the only way we can transcend the material association. Otherwise there is no positive alternative other than Krishna. So Bhagavatam, in the third canto, it is mentioned to describe the beauty of Krishna, it is mentioned Krishna's ornaments are actually getting ornated by the presence of Krishna. It is said, Param Padam Bhushana Bhushanangam. That is, Krishna's beauty is such that it is actually beautifying his ornaments. It's not that the ornaments cannot actually beautify Krishna, but the ornaments get ornated by Krishna. There are two other verses in the similar line by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I'll read that. It is mentioned, Vibhushanam Vibhushyam Sya Dhyena Tadrubam Uchyate. So Rupa Goswami says, excellent form is said to be that by which ornaments becomes worthy of being ornaments. So ornaments becomes actually ornaments when there is Krishna. So it's a very wonderful meditation actually. If you want to think about the beauty of Krishna, it's a wonderful meditation. how actually the ornaments becomes worthy of being ornaments of Krishna. So in other words, the beauty is actually coming from Krishna. We can see, for all wonderful things, the source is Krishna. So even when you take the beauty of ornaments, that beauty is coming from Krishna. Rupa Goswami further says, it's a very nice verse, he mentions, Krishnasya mandana tadar mani kundalaya nitanga sankitam alankrite varangi sakta babhuvana managabi tad vidhane sa pratyusa swayam anantam alankritasya. Oh beautiful woman, the jeweled earrings and ornaments is contacting the body cannot at all function as ornaments to enhance his beauty. Rather, those ornaments are become decorated by his body and have thus increased their beauty. And as we know, Krishna's beauty is increasing all the time, because Krishna's all qualities are increasing all the time. So Krishna's beauty is increasing all the time, and at the same time, as we get purified, we can also relish, we can also see Krishna as more beautiful. In conditioned state, you know, when we are covered with so many layers, then we cannot see Krishna's beauty so much. It's like wearing dark glasses. First of all, if it is too dark, we can't see anything. Even if we come in front of the deity, you know, we come, take darshan, go out, we remember nothing. Then as we get purified, we can actually start remembering. We can actually remember Krishna. What he wears, how is his garland, you know, how is his earrings, you know, what is his dress color, so many things we can remember. And the beauty of the Supreme Lord, it actually increases as we get purified. Because we will be able to appreciate more and more. So if somebody has performed devotional service for, you know, many decades, actually they can enjoy, they can actually see the beauty of the same deity much more than a neophyte. Because one's realization increases. So as one's realization increases, one's appreciation of Krishna and his beauty increases. And for that, the very wonderful meditation is given here about the Supreme Lord. So here a full description from top to bottom of Krishna is given in his plenary form as Super Soul for meditation is given in this verse. And at the end of this verse is very interesting, because if we want to fix the mind on something, and if we want to absorb by fixing our mind something, then our intelligence has to be strong. As Bhagavad Gita gives the hierarchy, Indriyani Pararahu, Indriyopya Paramana, Manastu Para Buddhi. So it is said, higher than mana, higher than mind is buddhi, it is intelligence. So if you want to fix mind on something, at least for some time, one's intelligence has to be strong. One's intelligence has to be strong means one should have the spiritual intelligence, which is coming from Shastra. And if we don't have, then we cannot actually fix our mind. If people say, you know, I can't focus on anything, even in devotional service, the meaning is that one's intelligence is not strong. So one should put effort in cultivating intelligence by hearing Shastra, by discussing Shastra, by speaking Shastra. And with that, one's intelligence becomes strong, and then one will be able to fix one's mind on transcendental form of Krishna, transcendental name of Krishna. And only through that which we can actually transcend the material platform. Then we can actually give up the attraction, we can actually reduce the attraction for material things, and we can develop attraction for Krishna. So spiritual intelligence is very important. So I stop here and see, is there any questions, comments, corrections? Yes, please.
Thank you. Very nice class. Namaji also came on in with the Bhakti
Vibhajana. Yeah.
Thank you,
bro. Yes, bro. I heard actually. I didn't read it. I heard from one devotee a while ago. Yeah, he gave a lot of mercy.
There's so much story about the son, how much he gave mercy.
Yeah.
Maybe we are the obedience.
Thank you.
How much impossible. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada also. There's so many devotees by this guy in Krishna.
Yeah.
You are the obedience.
Yes, Father. So that if we just say expectation, it gives stress. That is very much applicable for materialistic people straight away, because they have so much of expectation. It doesn't actually deny the fact that one has to plan one life, or one should have a long term and short term plan. That is there. But in terms of, say, for a materialistic person, when we have so much of expectations, that straight away leads to stress, even if it is satisfied. You know, when there is expectation, so there is always uncertainty. That is, whether it's going to happen or not. And that brings about a confusion and stress, a weight within the mind. And when we apply the same principle to devotees, it's not exactly the same. But if we have so much of material expectations, because we are not pure devotees, that can lead to stress. But at the same time, for devotees should have long-term as well as short-term plan. There is no harm having some plan. At the same time, we don't see that we are the doers, or okay, here I have got this plan. Say, you know, for instance, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says from Ekadashi to Ekadashi, a devotee should plan something and should check what we have to do, what we have achieved. So when we say this kind of plan, it's actually, even if we have such a plan, we don't see ourselves, okay, this is our plan, we actually pray to Krishna. Krishna, it's up to you, please help me. Then even if it doesn't happen, we actually still pray to Krishna. So we have always shelter of Krishna, even in our planning. Even if it works or if it doesn't work, we have always shelter of Krishna. So as far as a devotee is not stressed so much with that kind of planning, especially if it is a spiritual planning. Especially if we may have it situated in our ashram, or we may have our plan to be situated in our service. So we have always expectation, we have hopes, we have, okay, we want to do this. So that, and we approach Krishna actually. And we pray, you know, this is my spiritual desire. I want to do this for you. So that actually purifies us. That kind of planning, you know, this is the way I want to serve you, Krishna. Please help me. That actually helps us to purify us. Because it is said, you know, the planning to serve Krishna itself is very potent, because it has purificatory effect. So for devotees, it can be used in a positive way. But at the same time, even with the devotees, when we have, because not all devotees are, you know, we are not pure devotees, and not all devotees are living in the ashram. We have to deal so much with the outside world. And when we plan so much, you know, forward, you know, I should have this much money collected so that I can retire. You know, so many plans, the devotees make such plans. And that kind of planning, sometimes it can be a problem. Because then sometimes people lose the balance. People think, okay, I should make, you know, so much, because retirement means I need so much of money. And they have a higher expectation on the financial position. And one can, out of balance, they can work too much to attain their objective. And they can actually slacken the Krishna consciousness. So, there also a plan is there at one side. But on the other side, one has to understand now what? Now what am I doing for Krishna? So, the long term and short term. So, even with the devotees, especially one who has to deal a lot with the material energy, then one has to have to be careful while making plans. That is which doesn't, you know, it doesn't become our endeavor, as Rupa Goswami said, because our endeavor definitely kills our devotion. So, balance has to be there. And for that, usually we take guidance from senior devotees. So we know what we are we going in the right direction. Yes, Rupa. Yeah. Or this verse. Bhayam, a lot of bhayam. Okay, actually that also I heard from a lecture. I am trying to find the source of that. Yeah. I will let you know when I get it. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know exactly that. I'm trying to find the source of that verse. Yeah. I'll get it. And then I'll let you know. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. चंद्राश्रीमद भागवतम की जय शील प्रभुपाद की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की जय नेताई गौर प्रेमानंद